الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فنعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. At the command of our Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Damat barakatuhum, has advised us that whenever we have an opportunity for giving a talk or some nasihat, to begin with the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least one sunnah, inshallah, if it enters our life, we will become closer unto Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come unto us and will become closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one simple sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before we go to that sunnah, sometimes we ask ourselves a question, why a sunnah? Why must we follow a sunnah? In the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala, when He speaks of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of examples for us. Uswatun hasana. The best of examples. There is no better example than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that example is not only for our salah. It is not only in the way we keep our roza or the method we give our zakat in or perform our hajj. No, he is an example for our entire life. Whether it is our ma'amalat, whether it is our ma'asharat, how we interact with people, how we dress ourselves, what do we do, how we meet others. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example, and as Muslims, we need to have conviction, and we really have conviction in this. And we believe that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for us. But let us look at our lives, whether the conviction we have, are we portraying that conviction or not? You know, incident comes to mind that there was one person, he decided to open a tea store. So when he opened the tea store, outside he put a board with his name, that this tea stall, this is the owner of the tea stall. And to advertise his tea stall, he wrote there, this is the best tea either in this town or in the country or in the land. You won't get any better tea anywhere else. So because by looking at that, people used to go and drink the tea there. Some found it nice, some didn't find it nice, but no one made any noise. So one day one Pathan went there. And he looked at the board and he said, this is the best tea in the land or in the country. Let me go and have a cup of tea. So he went to drink the tea. And when he took the first sip, he spewed it out. He says, this is the worst tea I've ever drank. So sir, now he started a commotion. He called the manager. And he said, the manager, this is what you advertise and this is what I am drinking. This is the worst tea that I am drinking in my entire life. I haven't drank tea worse than this. So a commotion started and he wanted to hit the manager, and people called the police and the police intervened. Anyway, in the end, the police heard both the sides of the story, and then the police, this manager saying to the police, listen, yeah, I'm only the manager, I'm not the owner of the tea store. So they said, where's the owner? You know the owner, where is the owner? He said the owner is around. They asked him, but where is the owner? He said, no, the owner is sitting in the tea store in front and he's drinking tea. Now see what he has written? Did he have conviction? No, he didn't have conviction. Let us look at us. We are laughing at that man. Let us laugh at ourselves. That we also say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example. Then why is it that we choose the way of the enemies of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let us think of it. You know, sometimes how hurt a man feels. A child, a little child. We dress him up in such a manner, we put t-shirts on him in such a thing with names written on that. And his name is Muhammad. The name that resembles Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is Muhammad. But he's wearing a t-shirt that says David Beckham. Or he's wearing a t-shirt that says Ronaldo. And when he kicked that ball, the father said to him, you are just like Ronaldo, but such is name Muhammad. How does the heart hurt? How hurt Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be feeling. Let us think, ponder, and wallahi, the sunnah is the best way of life. So one simple sunnah, afshu salam ma baynakum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make salam a habit. When you greet each another with salam. Meet each another with salam. But today, we will only make salam to that person who I know. Or I will only make salam to that person who is wealthy. The poor man, when he makes salam, we didn't even hear him. So we will not answer to his greeting. The rich man makes salam to us, we'll answer not once, but maybe twice we will answer it. They say there was a poor man. Very, very poor man. And he used to make salam to people, no one used to listen to him. No one used to answer him. But Allah Ta'ala changed his fortunes and suddenly he became a very rich person. Now when he walks the street, everyone is making salam to him. Everyone is greeting him. So when they used to say As-salamu alaykum, he used to say keh dunga. Again the people used to say As-salamu alaykum, he used to say keh dunga. What he used to do in the night when he used to go home, he used to open his safe and take out all the wealth. And then he used to tell the wealth, so and so gave salam to you, so and so made salam to you, so and so made salam to you. Why? Because we are not greeting the person, we are greeting the status of the person. So we need to greet each another, whether it is black, white, as long as he is a Muslim, whether he is wealthy or not wealthy, we will greet him with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How do we find ourselves today that our children are leaving home, they say goodbye and they're saying good morning or good evening, they're leaving our home. Our Muslim children, we have failed to teach them the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to inculcate the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, I have been given a little time, little opportunity to give a few words of advice. What we need to understand, that why we come to a khanqa, or why do we link ourselves to a share? What is the purpose of linking ourselves? Why we become ba'at to a share? What is the purpose for that? Now let us understand, when we look at ourselves, many of us, we suffer spiritual disease, physical diseases. We may suffer from diabetes, you may suffer from cancer, or you may suffer from pressure, whatever you suffer from. These are all physical diseases. And for this physical disease, we go and visit a doctor. And if we are not going to visit a doctor, then we know that what will happen to us, our health may deteriorate, and worse comes to worse. Even after visiting the doctor, worse comes to worse, we will die. Nothing more than that. And once we put into that soil, we put into the grave, what happens to that disease? If you ever hear any time that a person is suffering from diabetes after he died, or he's got cancer after he died, or he's got pressure after he died, you never heard any time that a person is suffering like that. But wallahi, when it comes to the spiritual diseases, whether it is pride, whether it is backbiting,
or any other disease, even the smallest of guna, it is still a sickness. We forget, we say, no, this is just a small sin. Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, when a person commits the minutest of sin, immediately the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on that person, he starts feeling restless. He starts feeling restless. And if he continues, that restlessness increases all the time. If you take a fish out of water, how will that fish feel? It will feel restless. And if that fish thinks to himself, no, if I carry on in this way, I will may get better treatment. He forgets now there's somebody waiting there to take his scales off and then chop him into pieces. And if he's still thinking that, no, I will go further, maybe it'll be better for me. He forgets to think. When he goes further, what do? They put him in hot oil. So that restlessness is increasing all the time. And if he still thinks it's better, he forgets that now he's put onto a plate. There's a man waiting with sharp teeth. Or there's somebody with a fork and knife that is still going to eat him up. So this restlessness increases all the time. So that guna, that sin, whether it's backbiting, whether it's speaking lies, whether it's anger, these are all spiritual sicknesses. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, if we do not cure these sicknesses, Allah forbid, then when we put into the grave, then difficulties and anxiety start. Physical sicknesses come to an end, but spiritual sicknesses, Allah forbid, if Allah and we didn't seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then difficulties and hardship will start. So to safeguard ourselves from these sicknesses, whether it's anger, we do not know sometimes what we are doing, what we are saying. We don't even know sometimes that what we are saying is a spiritual sickness. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi writes an incident. He says, I went to visit somebody. And after, when I spoke to him and visited him, he called his servant and he tells his servant that go and bring the zamzam from my second hajj and give it to Hazrat to drink. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that just this statement has destroyed the reward of both his hajj. Completely. Why? Because he had pride in him. He didn't know that. But when he sat in the company of the pious can feel the pulse. They will tell you sometimes, or they will speak about things whereby you understand that I have so and so sickness. They say there are two people. Some write it, they have come from Khurasan. They had come to Nizamuddin. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, Rahmatullah Alayh, they came to him. They came to take Ba'at at his hands. They hadn't met Hazrat Nizamuddin as yet. And those days there was a house like a small little pool where people used to make wudu in. And these two people were making wudu. And Hazrat Nizamuddin was sitting on one end and he was also making wudu. So this one person is telling the next person that, you know what? The pool of our town is far more bigger than this pool. That's the statement he made. Anyway, after Salah, they went and met Hazrat Nizamuddin. And they told Hazrat Nizamuddin that we want to become ba'at to you. Hazrat Nizamuddin said, I will make you ba'at, but first tell me that you said that your pool is far bigger than this pool here of my masjid. How far bigger is it? So they had no answer. They didn't know how far bigger it is. So he said to them, you go to your town. This we're talking of those days. Go back and measure your pool and come back and tell me. Anyway, they were saliks. They really wanted the islah to be made. They really wanted to reform themselves. So they go back, whether it's a month's journey, 1.5 months journey, whatever it was. So they went back, and when they went there, they measured the pool and they came back. And Hazrat Nizamuddin said to them, now measure this pool of mine. So they measured it. The pool of Nizamuddin was about this amount length smaller. So their pool was bigger, but about 2 lengths of this hand. So they said to Hazrat Nizamuddin that our pool
is 2 lengths bigger than your pole. 2 has this palm length. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullah Ali said to them, it seems that you have the sickness of speaking lies. Go. Stop speaking lies and your islah is made. These are the awliya Allah. You sit in their company, you learn things. But if you want to stay away, if that person who had those physical sicknesses stayed away from the doctor, what would have happened? His sickness would have increased. Now when it comes to spiritual sicknesses, sometimes we think ourselves that no, I will be myself, I will be myself, I will be a doctor for my own self. Like give an example, if a person suffering from diabetes, he's a diabetic patient, like me anyway. So one of the signs of diabetes is this, that his mouth is dry and he feels thirsty all the time. Very, very thirsty. This is one of the signs of diabetes. Now if I thought to myself, which I did think to myself, that I'm just feeling thirsty and my mouth is dry, so I need to drink something. So instead of drinking water, so I'm drinking juices all the time, or I'm drinking cold drink all the time, will that solve my problem or will it increase my problem? It most definitely will increase the problem. It will not solve the problem. In the same manner, sometimes we have spiritual diseases and we think that by doing a certain way, or we heard a talk by the mashayikh, we heard that no, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make us reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without taking ba'ath on the hands of the ahlullah. Now he started to make his own zikr. First he's making the zikr, he's getting some enjoyment. Now he increases that zikr. When he increases that zikr, now he's seeing things. And he's believing to himself that now I am reaching stages, because now I am seeing things, I'm a great wali I'm becoming. And when he increases that zikr, what happens to him? He loses his mind, he becomes mad. Because he didn't know how much of zikr to make. He overdosed himself. He became mad. Therefore it is necessary for us to have a shaykh, to have a spiritual doctor, to link ourselves to a spiritual doctor, so that he will give us certain remedies for ourselves. We cannot do it on our own. The Sahaba linked themselves to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Tabi'in linked themselves to the Sahaba. The Tabi Tabi'in linked themselves to them. To the Tabi'in. The Ahlullah link themselves. There is a link that continues. Wallahi, the Ahlullah of today, they are part of that link. And if we link ourselves, then inshallah ta'ala, and we follow the remedy that they are given, then inshallah ta'ala, we will also reach. We will also rectify ourselves. Today, anger is a very big thing. Not only amongst our community, but worldwide it's become a big thing. They're having anger management classes. People are paying for it. Thousands of rands they are paying for it. For anger management. Wallahi, you come in the company of the righteous and pious, free of charge, they'll do anger management. Free of charge. It's such a thing that we lose our senses. Divorces are taking place. Beatings are taking place. But we don't understand. And then we try and find a loophole, we divorce the wife. And then we come with a loophole to say one person came to Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says, Hazrat, that I was very, very angry and I divorced my wife. So Hazrat asked him, by the way, who in happiness divorced their wife? No one, when they're happy, they divorce their wife. So he says, no, Hazrat, now, Hazrat said, no, divorce is divorce. Now to find a way out. So he's saying, Hazrat, you know what? But at that time when I gave my divorce, I was angry that I was there, but also I was napak. Now he's looking for a loophole. By whatever Mufti Sahib said, whatever, whether you napak, whether you are park, whether you are angry, whether you are happy, you gave the talaq is finished. over.
But now it's too late to regret. When you could manage that anger, why didn't you anger? Why didn't you manage it? Why didn't you go to the Ahlullah? You knew you had a sickness. And what will the Ahlullah do? They remove the symptoms of the sickness and they link you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only in the spiritual disease, but when it comes to our salat, when it comes to the recitation of the Qur'an Kareem, they create that enjoyment because now you have recognized who your Allah is. Until you do not recognize who your Allah is, you will not get enjoyment. Let us think to ourselves that today I have read this Asar Namaz. How many of us read this Namaz because we had to read it? And how many of us read this Namaz because we love to read it? Sometimes our Namaz is what? I always say my students, I say, what is Namaz? Namaz for us is just come up and down, kiss the ground, turn around, back to town. Because why? There is no love in that Namaz. There is no love for that Creator. When that love of Allah comes in, you know they normally say, Hazrat also says, he says, leave all the extra, the tahajjud and the awabin and everything, leave it out. He says, leave all that, just do your faraid. And with that faraid, do your wajibat, your sunnat al-muqida, and stay away from sin. And stay away from sin, you will become a wali of your time. But remember something, by staying away from guna, at the hands of the Ahlullah, you have recognized your Allah. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters the heart. And when the love of Allah enters the heart, the love of namaz will come in the heart. When you get that love of salat, then you will see Asar Namaz is not only 4 rakat farz. You will know that Asar Namaz has 4 rakat sunnat ghair muqida as well. You will know that after Maghrib Salah, there is something as awabin. You will know there is something as tahajjud. You will get up. Why? Because now you're getting that enjoyment of salah. If you're not getting enjoyment of salah, when are you going to read extra salats? So the Ahlullah makes you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A good example is given. They say there is a child who had never seen his father for many, many years. Before he was born, his father went to war and he never came back. Now he was a grown-up man. As soon as he was a grown-up man, one day there was a telegram that came telling him that, listen here, your father is coming on a certain date at the docks, wherever it was. So he goes to his mother with this happy news. And his mother said, you need to go and fetch your father. So he tells his mother, I will go fetch my father, but I don't know who's my father. I don't even know what he looks like. So who am I going to fetch and come? So his mother says, no, don't worry. You see this one old man in that town, you go to him, take him and go, convince him to come with you, and he knows what your father looks like, he will tell you who your father is. So he says, okay, he takes this old man, and he goes there. When he goes there, he's waiting, people are coming out of the ship, the old man is standing with him, and the old man tells him, you know what, suddenly I got an urge, I need to go to the toilet. So he can't tell the old man, stand there. So he says, you carry on. And he's standing and waiting. Suddenly one old man comes off the ship, carrying some luggage as a burden, feeling it very hard. He sees this young man there, and he says, this young man, please help me carry this burden, carry this load, it's very heavy for me, I am old, you can see I can't carry it. So this young man says to the old man, no, 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 I can't carry it for you because I'm waiting for a very important person. I'm waiting for my father to come. And when my father comes, then we will see. Anyway, in the meantime, this old man that he brought from the town comes back and he says to this person, to this young boy, you see this old man here, this is your father. Now immediately what he does, he embraces that father of his. And immediately that luggage, which he had refused to carry before, now he is prepared to carry that luggage. Why? Because now he has recognized the person who he was talking to. He has recognized who his father is. Wallahi, until we do not recognize who our Allah is, our ibadah will be just like that. We need to recognize who our Allah is. And who can help us recognize that Allah is the Ahlullah. Is the Ahlullah. They are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just come in their company and sit at a distance and think, no, I can do something. You know, there's a train. if it's going from Johannesburg to Durban, but there's one coach that desires that I want to go to Durban. But it says, no, I'm going to stay out. I do not want to link myself to the other coaches. Will that coach ever reach Durban? It will never reach Durban until we don't link ourselves to the Ahlullah. That is the coach that is going to Jannah. Whether we are at the back, whether we are in the middle, Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, whether we are in the first class, or whether we are in the third class, where the windows are shuttered, where the seats are no good. In the first class, the seats may be very good. But as long as we link ourselves to the coach in front of us, and they link themselves to the engine, then inshallah ta'ala, where the engine will be going, we will also be going. That's what we need to do, is link ourselves to the Ahlullah. Today we cannot be alone. We think that, no, I can do it on myself. Wallahi, we can't do it ourselves. Hazrat Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, tanha na chal sakoge, muhabbat ki raah mein main chal raha hoon, aap mere saath chaliye. He says, you cannot walk alone. I am walking on this road. You come with me and see where we will go to. You know, a child that is learning to walk, he is learning to walk on his own. He falls down. He gets up, he falls down again. But then the father, he puts his finger out. And the child holds onto the finger and he's walking. If he's about to fall, the father is holding him and is pulling him up. The Shaykh is just like that father. That road that we are going to, if we link ourselves, we put our hand in the Shaykh's hand, then wherever he will go, we will also go. He is connecting us with Allah and nobody else. You know, I always say a person without connection, you know, a person has a very, very beautiful house. Absolutely beautiful. And in that house, he bought the most beautiful light fittings. The most beautiful chandeliers he's got. The most beautiful bulbs he's got. Everything is up to date. Now when night falls, everything is dark. And they tell him, listen here, put the lights on. But he tells you, you know what? I've got no connection, electricity not connected. What value does that chandelier have at night? What value does that light have at night? But there is another person, he may be staying in a squatter camp. In a little shack he may be staying. The connection he's got is one little bulb. But when he puts it on, it comes on. So who is better? The person in the shack or the person staying in the big house who is staying in darkness? The person in the shack. Why? Because he's got light. But why he's got light? Because he's connected. Until you're not connected, there is no light of the heart. Connect yourself to the Ahlullah. Then see how the light of the heart switches on. Otherwise it will be in darkness all the time. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is time that we need to connect ourselves with the Ahlullah. Don't stay away from them. They do not want your money, they do not want your wealth. They want nothing from you. The only thing they want is that they must connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we will do that? By connecting ourselves to them. Because they are connected to somebody. If you connect to the Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Hazrat Hakim Sahib is connected to Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib, or Maulana Phool Puri Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he is connected to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi is connected to somebody. And this connection goes on. It goes on right to Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi. He is connected to who? Hazrat Ali Radiallahu Ta'ala, and Hazrat Ali Radiallahu Ta'ala is connected to Rabbi Kareem Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. Anyway, if you break the link, there is no connection. Everything is lost. So the need of the time, the cry of the time, is to get rid of the spiritual diseases that we have within ourselves. We speak of anger all the time. We speak how much it destroys ourselves. We speak of backbiting. What a great sickness it is. A very grave sickness it is. You know, recently they said the hawks, they caught one fellow in Durban or whatever it was. He had 60 cars. And top of the range cars, Maserati and Ferrari and whatever.
And those 60 cars were taken away from him. It was his. But now they took it away from him. They said maybe he didn't pay tax or whatever the story is. But he may have hope in it. He may get it back. He may not get it back. He may get it back. He may not get it back. But great wealth he had spent on this thing. This was all his wealth that he had. On the day of Qiyamah, we also will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this great amount of wealth. Our a'mal, very, very great amount of a'mal. We've gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala will take it away from us. Like how the taxman took it away. He says, you made ghibat of so and so. Therefore this a'mal is gone. That a'mal is gone. That a'mal is gone. Until all the a'mal is gone. When all the a'mal is gone, you got nothing more to give. Allah Ta'ala says, now take his bad a'mal and put it on you. And if we link ourselves to the Ahlullah, inshaAllah Ta'ala, then we can get rid of the spiritual diseases. And inshaAllah Ta'ala, we ourselves can become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability and the understanding that the reason why we link ourselves to the Ahlullah, so that we can rid ourselves with the spiritual diseases, and the Ahlullah can take us to where? To Jannat inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
InshaAllah we will be having a hifz khatam now. A student by the name of Muhammad Asman, studied by Maulana Akbar Ali. InshaAllah, he will be completing his hifz. At the present moment, his grandfather, Muhammad Basman, is a musalli, a regular musalli of the masjid. He is in hospital, Tamil Gordon Hospital. He is not well at all. So Muhammad requests for du'as. InshaAllah, we will call Hafiz Muhammad Asman forward.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله. آج اس بچے کے لیے, اس کے والدین کے لیے, گھر والوں کے لیے, اس کے اساتذہ کے لیے عید سے زیادہ خوشی کا دن ہے. اللہ تعالیٰ اس خوشی کی برکات کو ان کے پورے گھرانے میں تا قیامت جاری فرمائے, اور دنیا میں جہاں جہاں بھی جو بچے قرآن پاک کے حفظ میں مشغول ہیں, اللہ تعالیٰ انہیں بآسانی اس کی تکمیل کی اور اسے یاد رکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. تمام ہی حفاظ کرام سے اس موقع پر یہ درخواست کی جاتی ہے کہ قرآن پاک کو پوری طرح محفوظ رکھنے کے لیے قرآن کریم کا رابطہ اپنی نمازوں سے قائم کرنے کی کوشش کریں, اور بالترتیب سنن و نوافل میں قرآن کریم پڑھنے کا معمول بنائیں تو انشاءاللہ دو چار دور گزرنے کے بعد قرآن پاک ایسا محفوظ ہو جائے گا کہ الگ سے یاد کرنے کی ضرورت نہ پڑے گی. اللہ تعالیٰ پوری امت کو قرآن کریم کا حق ادا کرنے کی اور اس کی تلاوت کی اور اس کے مشغلے میں لگنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. حضرت مولانا عبد الحمید صاحب دامت برکاتہم کے حکم پر اس وقت دعا کرائی جا رہی ہے, خاص طور پر قرآن کریم کے ختم پر حدیث میں آتا ہے یہ دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہیں. ہم اپنے مقاصد کے لیے, دینی دنیاوی حاجات کے لیے جو چاہیں اللہ کے دربار میں درخواست کریں. صلحاء کا مجمع, مسجد, اللہ کا گھر, فرشتوں کی صحبت, یہ تمام چیزیں آثار قبولیت میں سے ہیں. اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك فلله الحمد رب السماوات ورب الارض رب العالمين وله الكبرياء في السماوات والارض وهو العزيز الحكيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم وتحنن على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعط سيدنا ومولانا محمدا الوسيلة والفضل والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم اجز سيدنا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعلي على بناء البانين بناءه وأكرم مسواه لديك ونزله وأتمم له نوره برحمتك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم اجمع بيننا وبينه كما آمنا به ولم نره. اللهم لا تفرق بيننا وبينه حتى تدخلنا مدخله واجعلنا من حزبه ورفقائه يوم القيامة مع المنعم عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا, اللهم ارحمنا بهذا القرآن العظيم, اللهم ارحمنا بهذا القرآن العظيم, اللهم ارحمنا بهذا القرآن العظيم, واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا, وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا, وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار, واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك بعزتك وعظمتك وقدرتك وكبريائك وبالأسماء الثمانية المكتوبة على قرن الشمس أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا برحمتك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اے الہ العالمین, ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, غلطیوں سے درگزر فرما. اس بچے نے جو قرآن پاک مکمل کیا ہے اسے بے حد قبول فرما, اسے متا زندگی یاد رکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, قرآن کریم کی برکات سے اس کے دلوں کو معمور فرما, اس کے والدین کو بھی اجر جزیل عطا فرما, اساتذہ کو بھی اجر جزیل عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, ہم سب کو اپنی اولادوں کو قرآن پاک کا حفظ کرانے کی سعادت عطا فرما. اے الہ العالمین, جو والدین چاہتے ہیں لیکن کسی وجہ سے رکاوٹیں ہیں, الہ العالمین ان رکاوٹوں کو دور فرما. پوری دنیا میں جہاں جہاں بھی تیرے حفظ کے لیے بچے محنتیں کر رہے ہیں, ان کی محنتوں کو قبول فرما, ان کے ذہن اور یادداشت میں قوت عطا فرما. اے الہ العالمین, ہم سب کو قرآن پاک کے یہ خیرات و برکات سے مالا مال فرما, ہم سب کے حق میں قرآن پاک کو مقبول سفارشی بنا. الہ العالمین, قرآن کی عظمت ہمارے دلوں میں راسخ فرما, قرآن کی محبت ہمارے رگ و ریشے میں پیوست فرما, قرآن کریم کی تلاوت کی دن رات توفیق عطا فرما, تلاوت میں جو بھی کوتاہیاں ہو رہی ہیں انہیں معاف فرما. اے الہ العالمین, تمام بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما, قرض داروں کو قرضوں سے نجات عطا فرما, بے روزگاروں کو حلال طیب پاکیزہ روزی عطا فرما, پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, مصیبت زدوں کی حاجت روائی فرما. اے الہ العالمین, ہر وہ خیر جو آپ کے نیک بندوں نے آپ سے مانگی ہے وہ سب ہمیں عطا فرما, اور ہر وہ شر جس سے آپ کے نیک بندوں نے پناہ چاہی ہے ان سب سے ہمیں پناہ عطا فرما. اے الہ العالمین, ہمیں اپنے دربار میں سائل بنا کر مخلوق کے سامنے سائل مت بنا. اے الہ العالمین, آپ کے دربار میں مانگنا عزت ہے اور مخلوق کے سامنے ہاتھ پھیلانا ذلت ہے, اس ذلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے الہ العالمین, اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری گناہوں کی نحوست کی وجہ سے ہمیں مخلوق کے سامنے ذلیل مت فرما, ہمارے عیوب کی صدر پوشی فرما. الہ العالمین, دنیا میں بھی صدر پوشی فرما اور میدان محشر میں بھی صدر پوشی فرما. اے الہ العالمین, ہمیں ہمارے آقا سرور عالم حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم کی رفاقت و معیت آخرت میں نصیب فرما, آپ کے دست اقدس سے آب کوثر عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, ہر شر سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہر فتنے سے حفاظت فرما, ہر خیر سے مالا مال فرما. ہمارے اساتذہ, والدین, مشائخ, اعزاء, اقربا, محبین, متعلقین, محسنین, معاونین, سب کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما. اس ملک میں جتنے بھی مرحومین ہیں سب کی مغفرت فرما. اگر کسی کو قبر میں عذاب ہو رہا ہو تو اس کے عذاب, ان کو عذاب سے محفوظ فرما, ان کی قبروں کو نور سے منور فرما. الہ العالمین, تیری رحمت بہت عظیم ہے, پروردگار عالم اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سب کے لیے خیر کے فیصلے فرما, رحمت کے فیصلے فرما. ہماری کوتاہیوں کی طرف نظر نہ فرما, اپنے فضل و کرم کی طرف نظر کرتے ہوئے ہم سب کو اپنی رحمتوں کا مستحق بنا. ہماری نسلوں میں دین و ایمان کی بقا کے فیصلے فرما. تمام دینی اداروں, جماعتوں, تنظیموں, ان سے وابستہ افراد سب کی حفاظت فرما. اس مدرسے میں بھی ہر طرح کی خیر برکت مقدر فرما. طلبا کو علم نافع عطا فرما, اساتذہ کے علم برکتیں عطا فرما, معاونین کو اجر جزیل عطا فرما, منتظمین کو جزا خیر عطا فرما. ان دعاؤں کو سرور عالم حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم سے محبت کے طفیل میں قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ.